In your Bibles this morning to the book of John chapter number 5, and while you're turning there, I'll mention this Thursday night, the singing camp, the people at singing camp, they will be singing. Sister Kathy, what's the name of that community college? And there's no maps up here to that, I don't think. This is just the campground and the church. But Northeast, if anybody's interested in going Thursday night, we've went several years, and the community college, sort of like our college does, the Appalachian Festival or whatever it is, they have different groups come in, and they have the singing camp, and it's always real good. And then Friday night is their final program, I guess you'd call it, and it's at Tabernacle Baptist Church in Kingsport. And I have directions up here if anybody would like to go on Friday night. What time does the service start Friday night? 7 o'clock. So if you go, don't be like we went last year, and our bellies got the best of us, and me and John and Dad, we stopped to eat, and we run late, didn't get to the church just after the service had started. You got to allow some time for all of that. But it's always good at the church. And so I wanted to mention those two things. John chapter number 5. We're going to read this morning in verses 30 down through verse number 35. John chapter 5 and verse number 30 down through verse number 35. Let's read and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now, the Lord Jesus, every principle, everything in his life, he lived by the word of God. And so the Bible established that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. So Jesus was saying, this is not just what I'm saying, but there's another that witnesses about me also. And he begins to talk about John the Baptist. And so he said in verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not the testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are thankful to be here today and for all the many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray and I ask that you would help us this morning. I pray that you would speak to the Word of God. From the Word of God to our hearts. Lord, I pray for liberty. I pray for freedom of thought. Lord, I know that if you don't help today, that nobody will get anything out of the message, but I pray you'd take thy word. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would have liberty today. I pray the Word of the Lord would have free course. I pray you'd forgive us where we failed you. I pray, Lord, that your will would be done in and through the preaching of thy word today. We need your help. I pray and ask for it. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's go back. We're going to generally just preach this morning out of verse number 35. And notice what the Bible says here. Now, Jesus is talking about John. He said that in verse number 33, ye sent unto John, and he's talking about John the Baptist. And in verse number 35, Jesus says about John, he was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. And that's what we're going to preach on this morning. In fact, if I was given a title to the message, I would just call it this: he was a burning and a shining light. Talking about John. Now, I brought an illustration with me this morning. If you'll give me just a moment, I'll get it set up. And You know, sometimes the illustration is really good in your mind, and then you get it to church, and sometimes it works out good, and sometimes it don't. But I brought this for safety reasons. But I've got three things this morning that I want to use to illustrate the message. I've got a match, and I've got a little candle, and I think that'll burn for 35 or 40 minutes, maybe. And then I'm going to use another match. So this is what I've got to illustrate. The Bible said about John that he was a burning and a shining light. And so I'm going to use that match to light that candle. And there, that's one match. That's out. And then I'm just going to lay another one out here all by itself. And I'll come back to this. But in verse number 35, Jesus said about John, he said over there, he was a burning and a shining light. Now, what this illustrates this morning, and we're going to look at some scripture to show what I'm talking about, but number one, that match that is unused, that's potential. That's what we're going to look at. There's a lot of potential in that unused match. Number two, the candle that's burning, we're going to call that purpose. That's the purpose of that candle, is to burn. Then number three, the one that I lit and blew out, and you saw the smoke and maybe even smell it just a little bit, that's passing. That's passing. Now, the Bible says in Psalms chapter 90 and verse number 12, it says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Teach us to number our days. And let me tell you this morning, and we'll come back to this, but our days are numbered upon this earth. And they fly by pretty quick. The older you get, the more you realize that our days are quickly passing by. But Jesus was talking about John the Baptist in this passage of Scripture. And he said about him, again in verse number 35, think about this about John. He said he was a burning and a shining light. And the Lord Jesus had other things to say about John. In fact, one of the highest compliments of Scripture mentioned by the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about John. Jesus said about John the Baptist in Luke chapter 7 and verse 28, Jesus said about him, "Among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." You think about that. What a high compliment paid by the Messiah, the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus would say about John, of all that are born of woman, all that are born of women, and that's all of us. He said, nobody's greater than John. Nobody's greater than John. Boy, I tell you, I think that we don't pay as much attention to John sometimes as we ought to. But I even think there's a reason in that. And so the Lord Jesus had some fine things to say about John. He was a burning and a shining light. We're going to think about his life just a little bit today, and we're going to say, first of all, like the match, the unused match there that I have not lit yet, we're going to say, like John, or about John, that he had potential in his life. He had a lot of potential in his life. In fact, if you think about John, if you know anything about his life, John was prophesied of in the Scripture. Meaning this, that the Bible had already spoken that John's life would be used of the Lord before John was ever born into this world. John is mentioned in the Old Testament some different times. One being Isaiah chapter number 40 and verse number 3. And the Bible says over there, talks about John, the forerunner of the Messiah, that he would be the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And so the Bible had already said that there would come a one before the Messiah, before the Christ. There would be a forerunner. And this is how the children of Israel, they should have known that their Messiah was coming, because God sent a forerunner. God sent an announcer beforehand. And that announcer was John the Baptist. And so John the Baptist came upon the scene before the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ ever began. And this ministry of John was to prepare God's people to prepare their hearts that they would receive the Messiah. And so that's what John was supposed to do. He was a preparer. He was an announcer. He was a forerunner. The Bible talked about John's ministry in the book of Malachi. That's the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 5. The Lord said through the prophet Malachi, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet." And so this was not Elijah coming back from the dead again, but there would be a prophet that would, he would have a ministry. He would be great like Elijah was. And so the children of Israel should have been looking for a forerunner, an announcer, somebody to come and announce that the Messiah was here upon the earth. And so when you think about John the Baptist, boy, you talk about a lot of potential in his life. I mean, you look at John, we ought to expect great things out of John's life. Now, that was at the end of Malachi. You come over to the New Testament, you come over to the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we learn more about John the Baptist. Not only was he prophesied of in the Scripture, but John, his birth was announced by the angel Gabriel. And so Gabriel came to his mother, well, first of all, his father, Zacharias, and then to his mother. And in Luke chapter number 2, verses 13 through 17, I'm not going to go there and read all of those verses, but we read over there what Gabriel said about the birth of John the Baptist. And so Gabriel said in verse number 13, he said, "You're going to call his name John." And so we're looking for somebody named John in the Bible. You're going to call his name John. Verse 14 said, "Many shall rejoice at his birth." Verse number 15 said about John, "He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb." Boy, you talk about a lot of potential. Here's somebody that's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. He's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And in verse 16, the Bible said, "Many shall turn to the Lord." And so John's ministry is not going to be some ministry that nobody's ever heard of. But many people are going to rejoice at his birth. And through his preaching, through his ministry, through his fulfilling God's purpose for his life, many people are going to come to know the Lord. They're going to turn to the Lord. So John is a big deal in the Bible. Many are going to turn to the Lord. And it said in verse number 17, that he shall go before him. That him there is talking about the Messiah. John will go before the Messiah. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. And so he's going to be like one of the Old Testament prophets of the Lord, that all the children of Israel knew that that was a prophet of the Lord. And so we think a lot of things about John the Baptist. Boy, you talk about a lot of potential. I mean, he's not even born yet. There's a lot of great things that we can expect out of the life of John. You know, one of my favorite passages of Scripture is when Mary went to Elizabeth and Mary shared with Elizabeth that she had also had a visit from the angel Gabriel and that she was going to bear a son and they were going to call his name Jesus. And the Bible said that John, as a little baby, leaped in his mother's womb. When he heard, boy, I tell you, there's something special about John. John has got all kinds of potential in his life. I mean, you think about, we talk about people in this life that they start out with an advantage. They start out with a lot in the plus column. That's how John was. I mean, you think about the advantages that John had. John had godly parents. Zacharias and Elizabeth were godly people. They were people that walked with the Lord. He had godly parents. John was raised in God's house. Well, what an advantage. John heard nothing but truth all of his life. Isn't that an advantage? You see where I'm going with this? You say, oh, not only John, you know, a lot of us are advantaged as well. There's a lot of potential to having godly parents, a godly grandmother, a godly grandfather. And I know that's not everybody's case. I realize that. But a lot of people can say, you know, there was somebody in my family, there was somebody in my life that was a godly influence in my life. Somebody took me to church. I've heard the truth of God's Word, maybe not all my life, but for a long time now. That's a great advantage. That's a great advantage that the Lord has given unto us. And let me say today, we're talking about John, but I want to make this apply to all of us. Do you know that all of us have great potential this morning, not because of John, but because of who John came to preach about? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said this about God's people in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. He said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And so let me tell you something this morning. Yes, John was chosen and he had great potential. But I want to say today, so were you. The Bible said ye are a chosen generation. Yeah, God chose John. That's something great to think about. But let me tell you something, it's even better than that. If you're here today and you're saved by the grace of God, God chose you. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you've never been born again, let me tell you something else. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's chosen you before the foundation of the world. You may have never even thought of it before, but I'm telling you, God thought about you before you were ever born. He said, I'd like to have him, and I'd like to have her, and I'd like to have that. God wants all. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's so that all could be saved. The Lord has chosen you. If you're here today and you're saved by the grace of God, you are chosen. You are chosen to be a holy people, a set-apart people, a people that witnesses to the Lord. We have His Word. We have His Spirit. We have His call upon our lives. And so every person here today, you've got that going for you. You might look around at somebody and you might say, they've got a lot of potential. But I'm glad I can tell you this morning that you've got a lot of potential. All of us have potential. All of us are just like that matchstick that I have not used yet. Now, I got to thinking about this yesterday. What could you do with one match? Well, I tell you, you could do a lot. You could do a whole lot with one spark. You can do a whole lot with one flame. But you can do a whole lot of good, but you can do a whole lot of bad. There's just a lot of potential in every one of us. There is a whole lot of potential for good, and sadly, there's a whole lot of potential for bad. And so that's up to us. You have potential. He has made us. He has created us. He has done everything for us today. And He's given us breath and life. And even in our raising. And there are so many things that God has done in our lives to bring us where we are today. And all that. Do you know even the bad things that happen in our lives? God can use that for good. God can use the sicknesses. God can use the times of rejection. God can use the times of failure. God can use the times of feeling inferior to everybody else. God can use everything that we go through, and God uses those things to make us who we are today. What are we going to do with what God has been doing in our lives? It's just potential. There's a lot of things in our life that lay there, and it is potential to be used for good. It is potential to be used for bad. Now, in Matthew chapter number 5, the same sermon, and most people are familiar with the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told the disciples, He said, "Ye are the light of the world." That is our potential. You and I that are saved by the grace of God, we're to be the light of the world. But do you know, in that same sermon, Jesus gave another illustration. He not only told the disciples, "Ye are the light of the world," He also told them that they're to be salt. We're to be salt. Salt is good. Salt preserves. Salt gives flavor. Salt does a whole lot. Salt heals. But Jesus warned the disciples. He said, "The salt can lose its savor. The salt can lose its saltiness. The salt can, and it'll still be salt, but it just won't be worth anything." And that doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation, but I'll tell you what, you can lose your testimony. You can lose the joy of your salvation. If we are saved by the grace of God, and we get out here in the world, and we walk according to the flesh, and what the devil wants us to do, and we don't walk with the Lord, and we don't walk in the light of His Word, you'll lose your testimony, you'll lose your joy, you'll lose your influence, you'll still be salt, but you'll have lost that savor, and salt that's lost its savor is not worth much. And so in the same sermon that Jesus preached, He told the disciples about their great potential. You're the light of the world. But He also warned them, don't let the salt lose its savor. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about this morning, don't waste your potential. You know, you might say today, "Well, preacher, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do, if the Lord wants me to do anything." Well, He does. And here's how we ought to be in our lives. If we're at that point, you know, "I don't know what the Lord's got in store for me." Let me tell you this morning, be available. Be open. Be looking for God to speak to you in your life. Now, I'm talking to you young people. I'm talking to everybody. Now, I want to tell you young people something. Be looking for God to lead, guide, and direct and speak to you in your life. And if you are looking for that, you know what? He'll do that. What it'll be like Isaiah was. In Isaiah chapter number 6, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the Lord said, Who can I send? Who will go for me? And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." That ought to be our attitude in life. Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What career do you want me to choose? What path should I follow in my life? Who should my friends be? Who should my husband, my wife? Lord, what do you want? Be open. Be available. Be willing. There's a lot of potential in your life this morning. Don't waste your potential. Don't use your potential for bad. Make sure you use it for God. There's potential, number one. And boy, John had a lot of potential. But John, he had a definite purpose in his life. He had a purpose in his life. Jesus said this about him. He's talking about him being... Jesus said, "I'm witnessing of myself, but there's another that witnesses of me." And his witness is true. He was talking about John. And Jesus said about John, "He was a burning and a shining light." Now, what was John anyway? Well, John was a prophet. He's the last Old Testament prophet. John was a preacher, and man, what a preacher. I hope there's some way when we get to heaven that we can watch reruns. Wouldn't you like to see John preach? Wouldn't you like to just maybe go back to that time in Judea? And man, I mean, for 400 years, from the end of the book of Malachi till Gabriel appeared to Zacharias and said to him, you're going to have a son. The children of Israel had not heard one word from heaven. And Gabriel came, said, you're going to have a son. He's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. He's going to turn many unto the Lord. Many will rejoice. And Zacharias, name him John. I'd like to see John come out of the wilderness, wouldn't you? They hadn't had a prophet. They hadn't had a writing prophet, a speaking prophet, nothing. 400 silent years from Malachi to Matthew. And here comes John out of the wilderness. He's got a camel's coat on. He's got a leather girdle about him. He's eating honey and locust sandwiches. And man, is he preaching. He's preaching and he's telling about the Messiah's coming and that their hearts should be prepared. John 1:6 said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. I just like that. And old John, he let that religious crowd have it. I mean, he didn't spare nobody. And they come down there and they were inquiring, who are you and where are you from? And boy, John told him, he said, you need to repent and get right with God too. And multitudes came to hear John preach. And then one day, John was standing out there on the side and beside the seaside. And he looked down the road and he said, behold the Lamb of God. He's taking away the sin of the world. And he was pointing to Jesus. He's the one. He is the one that you need to be listening to. That was the whole purpose of John's ministry, was to point others to the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the whole purpose of his life. Behold the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a purpose in his life. He was a burning and a shining light. Boy, isn't that great? Look what Peter said about us. Not Peter, Paul, in the book of Philippians chapter number 2. And I'm going to read a couple of verses over there. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And so Paul talked about the church at Philippi. What are you supposed to do? Ye are supposed to be as lights in a dark world, holding forth the word of life. Is that not exactly what John was doing? He was a burning and a shining light in a dark world. He pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ so that others could see him. And do you know what? That is exactly the same purpose that we have. We're supposed to do the same thing John did. We are, with our lives, our primary purpose, no matter what our vocation is, no matter what our day-by-day job, we might say, is, we are to advertise the Lord Jesus. That's a Bible word, by the way. Boaz used it over in the book of Ruth. We are to advertise the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I'm telling you, everything else is advertised. Drink Coca-Cola. You know. Eat at McDonald's. We could go all day. ask your doctor about this kind of medicine. You don't pay attention to things like that till somebody gets sick in the house. I told him, I said, all this have you ever noticed how many drugs are being advertised? Well, we're to advertise the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not selling a product, but if you're thirsty, I know where you can go. And if you're hungry, I know where you can go. And if you're sick, praise the Lord, I know where you can go. You can go to the Lord Jesus. If you're unsatisfied, I've got good news for you. We're to be ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20. Now then ye are ambassadors for Christ. And an ambassador is just a representative of a king that's living in a foreign country. But he is there on the interest of his king. And that's what we're supposed to be doing in this world. We are strangers, we are pilgrims, we are passing through, and no matter what our vocation is, we're here on the King's business. If you're a retailer, if you're a teacher in a school, if you're a parent, if you're retired, if you work down at the job in town, or maybe you travel, or whatever you do, maybe you're a missionary, maybe you're a stay-at-home mom. I don't know, but whatever, wherever we go, we're to be on call, on duty for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're at His ambassadors. That's what John was. That was the purpose of his whole life. That is the purpose of our whole life. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 10. And I was thinking about over there what Paul said about his life. And he was writing to Timothy and he said, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." Paul said that his life had purpose. Now, my purpose is different from your purpose. I don't know what yours is, but I ought to know what mine is. Does your life have purpose? What are you here for? What does the Lord... God didn't just put us here to make all the money we can and buy all the things we can and live just as easily as we can. God put us here for a reason. A purpose. What's your purpose in life? I was talking with Chloe this morning on the way to church, and we were talking about music camp, and I told her, I said, "Chloe," I said, "you don't know." I said, "but you, if you keep going to music camp and you enjoy this and you learn all that you can while you're here," I said, "you don't know. You might go back one day and be a teacher. That might be why the Lord has given you this interest in your life." And I told her when I was going to Victory Bible Institute in the early 1990s, and I would ride over to Roane Mountain every Thursday night, and I would sit in the classes, and I read my books, and I kept up with my studies, and all that time as I would sit there and listen to the teacher, God began to put in my heart, I knew that it was God's will that one day I would go back and I would give back some of what had been given to me as a young preacher. And I've done that many, many, many years, and it's a long way, and I've sat through some of the same classes now I don't even know how many times. You say, "Preacher, is it a burden?" Nope. I enjoy doing it. God put that in my heart. It is not a burden. It is a joy, and I look forward to it, and I am thankful. That's one thing I know God told me to do in my life, and people seem to enjoy it. And there's only one class that I don't enjoy, and it's the Kingdom of the Cults. But I tell you, I feel like in teaching that, I'm sparing somebody else from having to go through it. It is so depressing. But what's your purpose in life? What are you supposed to do for the Lord? John, look, it's still burning there. He was a burning and a shining light. God wants us to burn our lives for Him. That's our purpose. But then thirdly of all and last of all this morning, think about John. John's life quickly passed. Now, if you know anything about John's life, in John chapter number 3, in verse number 30, John said this. He said, He, talking about Jesus, He must increase and I must decrease. Boy, I'm telling you, when John came on the scene, the multitudes came to him and the multitudes heard him preach. And many, many got baptized. They come, they believed what John had to say. But when Jesus came on the scene, John said this, He needs to get bigger and bigger. He needs to get bigger than I've ever been. And I need to get smaller and smaller and smaller. If you know anything about John's life, his public ministry, his whole ministry was very, very short. In fact, from what I've studied about John the Baptist, his ministry probably did not last more than 6 months to a year. That was it. Man, John and all this stir and all this commotion about his preaching and all these multitudes. And look at that very short period of time. By the time you come to Matthew chapter 11, John is in prison. What for? Preaching. And he got in trouble with the government and he told the fellow in charge, he said, you shouldn't be doing that. Ended him up in jail. By the time, and that is when John sent his disciples to Jesus and said, are you the one that should come or should we look for another? And Jesus said, you said, oh, John doubted. Jesus still said, when they came and asked him, that's when Jesus said, of all that's born of woman, there's none greater than John. Don't think if you get in a low point in your life that the Lord will forsake you. Jesus said, I'm still taking up for John. There's none greater. Go tell him the blind can see and the deaf can hear and the lame can walk again. John said, that's good enough for me. Lord, I'm sorry I doubted a little bit. I know you're the one. Then you come to Matthew chapter 14 and they cut John's head off. John had a very, very short time frame to do what he did for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're not all going to be like Isaiah. You study the book of Isaiah. Isaiah had a very long prophetic ministry, probably 50 or more years. John had a very short window of opportunity to do something for the Lord. The Bible said in the book of James chapter 4 and verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. I struck that match, blew it out. God said, that's how your life is. Boy, isn't that how life is? I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day. I can't believe that my wife is as old as she is. And I'm right behind her. I am behind her, but I tell you, where does that go? Where does 25, 30 years get gone to? It's just like a vapor. Life is very short. Life is very unpredictable. We don't know what is going to be on the morrow. Jesus said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. A lot of times in our lives we say, oh, I'll serve the Lord I'll serve the Lord when I get out of school. I'll serve the Lord when I graduate. I'll serve the Lord when I get a different job. I'll serve the Lord when I get my children grown. I'll serve the Lord after I'm retired. I will serve the Lord. You don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. I don't know. I might live 70 years. That's sort of the general time frame we find in the Bible. You might live 80 years. You might live a little more. You may not make it through the end of next week. We just don't know what's going to be on the morrow. Our life is quickly passing away. And our goal in life should not just be potential. We all have potential. All these young people, man, what potential. You're in the right place. You're at the right time. Don't think, oh, we're so far gone, God cannot use me. And, you know, I could see how young people could sort of give up on life. Let me help you. Quit watching the news. Not everything's that bad. We've had a lot of bad presidents. I think we got a pretty decent one for us. But that's neither here nor there. A few years will go by, we'll get somebody else. Don't worry about it. That's not dictating in our lives what's good, what's bad. There's a lot of potential. You're in the right place. You're hearing the right things. You were born at the right time. But if all we are is potential, do you know where this came from? This box of matches I have. When my dad drove a truck years and years ago, when he first started, he collected matchbooks. And there's a big aquarium at my house. How it got at my house, I don't know. Full of matchbooks. This box of matches has been potential for probably 30 years, wouldn't you say, Dad? It's just been there. And yesterday, I went and dug it out and got one out. It worked first. But all those years, it's not done anything. You might be here today and you might say, oh, preacher, all those years, I've not done anything. But there's still potential there. But the goal of our life is not just potential. And the goal of our life is not to be okay, I'm burning. A lot of people are a flash in the pan. They're a one and done. That's a used to be. Passing. Our lives are quickly passing. A lot of people will say, oh, I used to do that. I used to go to church. I used to teach. I used to serve the Lord. I used to. That shouldn't be the goal of our lives. The goal of our lives ought to be that we would be consumed in His purpose. That's the goal. I don't want to just be potential. I don't want to be somebody that used to be. But I want to be right in God's purpose for my life. And that is where all of us ought to desire to spend all the days of our lives. Moses didn't even really get started till he was 80 years old. He had 3 40-year slots in his life. Don't think God can't use the end as well as God can use the beginning. And God can use the middle. I don't care where you are this morning. Our desire ought to be consumed in His purpose. That way, when we come to the end like John, John could have come to the end and had no regrets. I heard a preacher say one time that as soon as they chopped John's head off, before his head hit the floor, he was in heaven sticking out his tongue back at him. I don't know about that. But I'll tell you, he didn't waste his life. Paul did not waste his life when he come to the end. He said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." That ought to be our desire. I remember talking with preacher Carl Wilson many, many times, and he'd tell me, he said, "Brother Wynn," he said, "I want to finish well. I want to finish well." Well, that ought to be our desire. I want to finish well. Well, I'm closing this morning. Jesus said about John, he was a burning and a shining light. He didn't last long, but he gave it all for the Lord. He was a burning and a shining light. Now I'm closing this way this morning. What would the Lord say about us? You ever thought about that? I mean, that was his testimony concerning John. Of those born among women, none greater than John. What about John? He was a burning and a shining light. What about Preacher Wynn? What about you? What about us as a church? What would the Lord say about us? I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.